Welcome to Beyond the Document, the podcast from Formpipe, where we discuss everything that is output, document, and customer communication management. Now, this episode is focused on a topic that we've touched on before, and we're going to go a bit deeper this time because it's one that impacts all of our lives as we look into how we, as organizations, but also wider society, can deliver sustainable digitalization. Now, for Formpipe, a big part of our sustainability is partnering with Microsoft, with Azure providing us the platform for Formpipe Cloud. So it's fantastic to have Nexi Detti of Microsoft joining me today. Welcome to the podcast, Nexi.
Thanks for having me, Ben. Good to see you.
It's a pleasure. And your LinkedIn profile says that you're a sustainability strategist. So can you explain a little bit more about just yourself, but then also what a sustainability strategist does on a, during a working day?
Absolutely. So I have a role which is called industry CTO and sustainability strategist. So I'm helping organizations to digitally transform with their digital transformation journeys. But then I'm looking on how you can do that in a more sustainable way, whether it is, you know, moving to the cloud and cutting emissions through that, or looking at how you work with sustainability data, or things like building circular business models using data as a foundation. So quite a wide range of things that I do.
Sure. And is that across all industries and geographies, or have you got a particular focus in one area?
When it comes to digital transformation, I'm looking after retail customers. But when it comes to sustainability, I work across industries, and some of the funnest use cases have been outside of retail as well.
And I know from talking to you previously, you've got an interest outside of work in this as well. Can you just touch on your personal experiences there?
Yeah, absolutely. A while back, this journey started a few years back when I got pretty much tired of being just an engineer and got interested on environmental issues and sustainability. And actually, I reschooled myself like 15 years ago on sustainability and sustainable development, and realized that there was a lot of opportunity to use digital transformation as a speedway to actually become more and more sustainable in general, like, you know, using data, making informed decision based on data, but also like just you know, building the business around sustainable data as well.
Sure, and that leads into, you know, as I mentioned in the introduction, that Microsoft form a huge part of our sustainability objectives, and we absolutely love partnering with yourselves because the initiatives that you have related to the Azure platform then have a direct impact on our product, our solution, and how we help our end clients reach their goals. So with that in mind, I'd love to hear more from you about what a sustainable cloud is, you know, what it looks like, if you can imagine it, and then also what it means to Microsoft in the way that they deliver that to the industry.
Absolutely. And the sustainable cloud, you'll hear this, you know, everybody has their own definition, but to me, it has to do with first and foremost, like, you need to be running those data centers, those computers somewhere with renewable energy. First of all, the first step. The second one is how you design those physical data centers so that you minimize the footprint even by the way you design the cooling systems, for instance. The third part of it is the actual computers in there, designing them not only to be energy efficient, but also to be able to fix them or to be able to reuse, repurpose some of those components. In that way, you know, extending the lifespan. One of the recycling is the last stage of a circular model. So if you can reuse and repurpose those components and extend the lifespan of them, you become more sustainable. By doing that, we minimize the environmental footprint. And that environmental footprint is essentially also your our customers, for instance, scope 3 emissions, indirect emissions. So we are helping, not only are we getting our house in order, but we are helping also our customers to minimize their emissions.
And how challenging is that recycling aspect? Because that's one that's often overlooked, I think, by not only people looking at cloud, but, you know, we talk about electric vehicles, right? And people often forget that then you have that big challenge there. So without giving any industry secrets away, how challenging is the recycling of that kit to what Microsoft do?
It is quite challenging, and that's why it's if you look at how well or how much it's done, like we're still in the beginning stages of that. But like what Microsoft has done is actually introduced these circularity centers that are part of the data center, and that's where we can fix certain components or repurpose certain components. But then even when it comes to the end state, you know, recycling, we are able to do that locally, so to recycle those components and not send them, for instance, to a third party or so on. But you can recycle it in the physical data center. It is challenging, but there is a way to do it.
and I know that's something that we've been watching closely, because the sustainable power and the cooling of the data center is one that I find fascinating. But then we've been watching closely the global rollout of Microsoft data centers, because it's really helped us compete in different parts of the world and globally. Okay, we've got our SaaS offering global now. I mean, that must be something that's so exciting to be part of, the global rollout of data centers.
Absolutely, and it enables also, like, you know, most of the work that I do is talking to a lot of customers that have still like a lot of footprint on prem, and then. And we're helping them, you know, to move to the cloud and minimize this need to dimension the data centers for the peaks that they see, for instance, throughout the year. Instead, you have that scalability, you have that availability everywhere. And then, as we're moving or creating these sustainable data centers. So it's you're also like minimizing the impact on in terms of the environmental footprint as we talked about. So the global outreach helps with that scalability, with being able to actually even balance the workloads and so on, and use the compute when you need it, not just over dimension.
And I think this is a huge point. And when I talk to people about this, sometimes they do get a little bit hung up on the green energy sources, when you and I know it's a lot more sophisticated than that. And only this week I was talking to an existing Formpipe client, and they have a massive spike in their consumption and therefore the required capacity, but only four times a year, because it's a quarterly run business. So then for the rest of the time, the other, 361 days, they've actually got quite a low demand. So not only being able to deliver that ability to upscale, but also predict, must be a massive win for not only the end client, but also ourselves.
Absolutely. The aspect of, you know, most, I work within retail. Most of the retailers have these spikes that they have throughout, like, you know, the consumption rises, obviously, during the Christmas season or during the Black Friday and things like that. But then it normalizes after a while. But to be able to scale that up without even doing anything, but then even like to be able to look at the workloads and design them in a way that they are event based or event triggered, so that some workloads, like, you know, will run only when a certain event gets triggered. You minimize the need for compute, but you also by doing that, you also minimize cost and you minimize the footprint.
Yeah, and it's that use of data, isn't it, to be able to predict those patterns. And you talk about retail there, but also I'm talking about financial services here, that they are relatively awesome. Predictable. So I think that can be applied to any industry if we've got the data.
Absolutely. I used to take this example. We used to, from retail, a lot of retailers use a lot, tons of data to be able to predict what Ben's next purchase will be. We could do the same thing when it comes to sustainability. If we did that, we would actually become quite sustainable in terms of using compute, because you can, as you say, you can predict when that need will rise, and then you can distribute that need. We live in a global world. Not everybody is awake at the same time, so being able to distribute that workload is also very essential.
Yeah, and that's the really nice thing, right? When we look at this as a society point of view, because I know we love our business being able to positively deliver sustainability to our end clients. We like that. It's such a good message. I mean, even if you look at the simple use case for us, where people have historically printed and then posted documents, and now we're helping them deliver them digitally. But then if you look at the scale that Microsoft can influence global society as well, you must get a real kick when you look at what your work on a day-to-day basis can actually do for the longer term benefit.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I really enjoy is when you get into conversations like this, for instance, about, well, we've gone from paper not to digital services, digital tools, but they also come with a footprint to being able to give certain data, enforce policy on how we work with these digital tools, so that you minimize the impact, and then scaling that globally and understanding that although the IT technology stands for very little in terms of the big global emissions, you can still influence that quite heavily. And I would say even like that, doing that actually influences the behavior elsewhere as well, to start thinking, preparing mentally for what does living sustainably in the future looks like. So which is, yeah.
And we've touched on this before and beyond the document, because this subject is becoming mainstream. Thankfully, it's becoming mainstream, yeah? And it's critical to the way that organizations must now think. I mean, historically, ESG would have been a small team sat in the corner of the office, but suddenly now it's actually running right through the middle of well-run organizations, and definitely from the top all the way down. But that then does lead us on to thinking about regulatory compliance and where we might be standing with sustainability and regulations. I know you've got some insight into this. So how do you see regulation playing a part in the future of sustainability?
It plays a tremendous part in it, because up to this year, organizations have reported the data. They've worked with the data, but it's been very siloed, different departments gathering data here and there, compiling that, working for a few months and creating a sustainability report, which gets published. But now you have to actually go a bit deeper and understand where the data is coming from, validate the data, and make sure that it is reported precisely like we report the financial data, which means that in the future we will be able to compare two companies, maybe even within various industries, to look at the sustainability and data and go like, okay, this company is more sustainable than the other, which puts tremendous pressure on organizations to actually start looking at where is the data coming from? What data do I have available? I talked about the Microsoft providing, for instance, quite a lot of data on the Azure cloud. You get that emission data automatically, but then there is a lot of other data, other sources that are part of the ERP, maybe that are part of the other systems that you need to consolidate and report it. And the other more exciting, I guess, step as part of that is, what do you do then when you apply, for instance, some AI on top of that and understand what kind of actions you should take next? You know, actionable insights from the data that you've gathered. So that would be the future going forward, and it is probably bigger than implementation of the ERP systems that companies did 20 some years ago.
Yeah, and we see this all the time because, I mean, I'm of an age where you 20 years ago, you could probably get away with just making a green statement, right? And we've come a long way on, even the wording has changed. And we now do see that the sustainability rating or the ESG rating of an organization may influence how they can borrow, for example, you know, and raise credit. So companies that are being run well and sustainably are becoming more competitive. You know, they're getting a financial competitive edge there as well, which I think is so correct, and it's such a good judgment of how an organization is run.
Exactly. And I remember talking to a banker about this, that if you had the right data, investments would be a bit easier, or green investments would be a bit easier, because you could actually show that, well, by providing these green bonds that investors can invest with, and then you can actually show the sustainability data, and you can say, like, yeah, these are the right investments. You've made the right investments. That is the golden nugget. Like, if we can get there, and that work has started, but we're a bit. I think I would say we are at the beginning of that journey, and we still have quite a long way to go.
I fully agree with that one, but it's good to see that it's moving in a positive direction. We're coming towards the end of the episode, Nexi. Given the breadth of everything that Microsoft get involved with, where do you think is the best place for somebody interested in Microsoft and the sustainability that they can bring to an organization? Where's the best place for them to go and look and learn more about what you guys do?
If you're interested on understanding what Microsoft does as an organization, you know, that part that I talked about, the getting the house in order.
Yes.
Then the sustainability report is probably the best place, where it's a very consolidated, easy to read, great report on what Microsoft is doing right now, what it's planning for the future, and so on. But if you want to understand also, like, what are the tools and services that Microsoft is providing, that some of them actually are free if you're using the Azure cloud, or if you're using the 365 services, then you go to microsoft.com/sustainability, and there you'll get some more information on that.
Fantastic. Well, Nexi, it's been fascinating. It's a subject that's very close to my heart, and I think most people listening to the podcast will have got something out of that. So I just welcome you again for your time, and thank you for joining us on Beyond the Document.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you for listening to Beyond the Document, and thanks again to Nexi for joining us today. You can learn more about what Nexi and the team at Microsoft do by either visiting the Microsoft website or searching on LinkedIn for Nexi's profile. That's NEXHIDETI, Nexi Detti. I'm Ben Saxton. Catch you next time on Beyond the Document.